Welcome to the Free and Open Source Software Podcast Series featuring presentations from the FOSS-VT Conference at Lake Maury Inn Resort.
This year's podcast was recorded and produced by tech-savvy kids from St. Albans, Vermont. This episode features Lucy DeLabriere and team talking about From Promise to Reality.
Hope you enjoy it!
Integration Specialist at St. Albans City School, and this presentation is going to be showing you some ways that open source software out of the box can be tweaked to be more classroom friendly. And I usually start with having everything linked online, but I'm so glad this is not a Web 2.0 conference because everything was just working so slow online. I'm not starting this conference the same way, or this workshop the same way I usually do, which is on my website, learningwithlucy.com. And Lucy is spelled I-E. If you remember my French accent, you'll remember that it's I-E, the French way to spell Lucy. There will be a link to all the slideshow and the tutorials that I talk about during this workshop. And I wasn't able to upload them this morning because of the slow internet in here. So give it 24 hours and it will be there. So, what we're going to talk about today and is my experience taking three pieces of open source software, putting them in classrooms, and have nothing happen. Not much. Has that ever happened to anybody?
No.
And so I said, what would really make this more teacher-friendly? What's wrong? What's not happening? And I found some ways to tweak some software and some strategies for working with teachers and some coaches, getting their advice on how these tools would be more useful. And I'm going to share those with you because I didn't know the answers. I went to the teachers and took time to listen to them and brought in some experts. I'm a teacher, but I'm a high school teacher and I'm now at a K-8 school. So I thought putting Tux Paint in the first grade was a great idea. Not much happened until a couple of different things happened. So I'm going to focus on three different things. Some of the stuff has some simple changes you can make to the configuration files that will make a big difference, and some of my strategies about working with teachers. I have three pieces of software that I'm going to work with: OpenOffice, Typefaster, and Tux Paint. And I picked those today because there are three different grade levels that we're using them at our school. I'm going to start with OpenOffice, very easy tweaks that you can make. And I'm not going to show you all the tech part of it, but I will show you some basic parts of and where you can get the instructions to do this. I'm going to go with Typefaster next, and we're going to end with Tux Paint because I've had so much fun working with this. And Tux Paint at our school has had such mass appeal. When we put it in the computer lab for the younger kids, the eighth graders come in and are always on it. And it's like I didn't have to do anything. They're always playing with it. And I said, if this has this initial appeal, how can we make it into a learning tool? So I'll end with that one. And I have some fun stuff that we learned how to do with Tux Paint. The first one, OpenOffice. At our school, we put OpenOffice on every computer, and one of the biggest teachers' complaints were no clip art. Anybody heard that one?
I love it.
Yes. No clip art. Well, here's how we solve that. We found clip art directories, and I don't know, has anybody heard of WP clip art? So WP clip art is a file you can download, do a search for it, and it will look something like this on your computer. And you can go around and go through folders, call outs, and you can find clip art. But it's not that easily searchable and usable within OpenOffice. So what we did was, you could copy it to the clipboard. Let's say I find this, copy it to the clipboard. It's saved. Now I can paste it in my OpenOffice document. And I'll hit paste here. And there's my call out. Not too bad. That was my first step. The second step, I said, well, what would happen if we did insert picture from file, and it automatically went to, oops, that didn't work. What's happening here? I'm not even going to do this anymore because it didn't work and I forgot what it did. Insert picture from file and browse over to it. That way, people would think, there's the pictures, but they had the same thing, navigating through folders. People are visual. I found was on OpenOffice blog that if you go to Tools and turn the gallery on, there was a limited set of options, and those options were mostly backgrounds and bullets. They look like this, usually when in OpenOffice. And you could drag them in here. Okay, that works really good. I could just scroll down, but they were just Web 2.0 tools. So we found a place where you could take the WP Clipart gallery and put it, folder, and make that the default gallery. So now, very visual way to do, let's close that out, American history. And I can say, scroll through. And I still have to look through. It's not like I can search for the word cat. But if I want this picture in here, I just drag it in. And there was so much of this. When we first did this, and I want this cartoon in, I just drag it in. And that was just a lot easier for people to work with. That little tweak, anybody using that? It still doesn't have the search for, I need a picture of a computer. But it made a difference. It was visual, made a difference. People were browsing around. When somebody says, I need a red squirrel, they didn't get it. But you could still do it in, I think, go to some search engines online. And on the WP Clipart online version, there is a search piece. Yes?
So, Lucy, the WP Clipart works on any OS?
I don't know the answer to that. We're using Windows at our school. Now, here are the two tweaks you had to make. And that was under Tools, where it says Option. I had to find the path. And under Gallery, notice that I added WP Clipart to the gallery. That wasn't enough. There was one other tweak that I had to make, and because I can't get online, I had a link to those instructions. But what I had to do, and the instructions are really good on this website, and they are going to be on this presentation here, is there were these config files, and they end in the letters SDV and SDV and SDG, and those config files, I followed the instructions on the blog, and it allowed you to categorize what part of WP Clipart you want in your gallery, because it's huge. You may not want it all. And I had my biggest OpenOffice user, or my biggest Microsoft Office user as a faculty in art, always use the Clipart, and he enjoyed going through them and saying, I want this, I don't want this. We are in a K-8 school. He took out a lot of the military categories, and he was able to put in whatever categories he wanted. He went down through once he did it once, our network administrator now has on his thumb drive this particular file folder, WP gallery config files. And as a matter of fact, 10 minutes ago I thought I had this here, wasn't here. I went down, I said, can you help me, because I really want to stay at this presentation. And I said, all I need is your gallery files. So he came over in 5 minutes, threw them onto my computer, and I dropped them into the WP Clipart file. Now, I'm not going to make this a geek session here, but basically he just control A, selected them, and then went into the C drive program files where WP Clipart. I'm getting old. I can't even see the screen anymore. I just have to look at it this way, linear. And then went down to WP Clipart. and drop those. There they are. Do you see them there? So once you do it once, he walks around with it on his thumb drive and just drops those files in there, and it allows all these folders, cameras, cartoons, clothes, computers, to be in one of your choices right here. Cameras, cartoons, clothes. You see that? So I'm going to go on and not spend any more time with OpenOffice, but that was the thing that made the biggest difference. The other thing was figuring out how you want to save your OpenOffice file and changing the defaults to that. Has anybody done that? And I'm not going to spend time on that because there's tons of information on that on the internet, and I think it's a matter of personal preference. If you don't put Word on your computer, you may want the preferences to be one way. If you do put Microsoft Office and OpenOffice, you may want different preferences. But that's the other tweak we made. Next, I wanted to talk about another application called Type Faster. Anybody use that? Type Faster over there? Okay. So Type Faster, I'm going to show it to you in a second, has a great interface. Actually, I'll show it to you first. And looks like this, and you can change the font size, and you just type in. And there are different lessons that you can do. I like it because of the click. I like it because it really teaches typing the way I would teach it as far as the interface. And I've heard a lot of people say, oh, we have Tux Type at our school. And there's at least one person in this room who said to me, we use Tux Type. It's so great. And I turned to that person. I said, have you had your typing teachers look at it? Well, we don't have typing teachers in our room because we're in our school because we're K-8. And I said, Tux Type does, the pedagogy is all wrong. I've taught typing for 20 years, and it actually takes away. When I had kids use Tux Type, they went into this video game mentality, and it did not teach keyboarding. And they didn't get much better, and especially if it was put in an elementary classroom where there wasn't somebody who knew how to teach keyboarding. So just because Tux Type was open source, it just wasn't right. This interface was really good, but the problem is it was the lessons were way too long. They went on and on. You see this 2% here? They went on and on and on, and I'm going to pick, I think I'll pick easy sentence. I added this. So as you type, if you make a mistake, you're off and you have to figure out how to get back on. But I got to 30% really quickly. Do you see that up there? I don't have the zoom it on it, David. I should have zoom it on this computer. So it would just go on and on and on, and kids hated that it was so long. There was no immediate reinforcement. And the lessons had words that were 5 syllables long, almost all of them. So it was long, the words didn't make sense. Maybe it was designed to teach adults keyboarding, but we're teaching kids keyboarding now. So with a few little tweaks, I changed it to some more pedagogically sound lessons. And you can even change it under Edit Settings. I added things like Easy Lessons. But what if I added a new lesson called Spelling Words. Spelling Words 5, Lesson 5. And Matthew, what are some of your spelling words? Mrs. Shanya, what kind of spelling words do you have for your students?
We're working on EE words like keep and week.
Okay, so let's say that you were doing spelling words like that. Spelling words 5, you put them in and hit OK. And now, hitting OK. We have spelling words 5. Oops, I didn't put the space in the right places, but I can't even type because I need spaces. But so one of the things that happened was teachers were saying, we don't have time to teach keyboarding. We must teach science. We must teach literacy. And so one of the things that you can do is you can customize Type Faster and have different versions of it for different grades, have different versions for different types of the year. And it runs so smoothly that it actually will run on a thumb drive. I could go to my thumb drive here. So it doesn't have to be an installed nightmare. It could be on a CD. And I can go to Type Faster and just, whoops, I have it loaded already here, don't I? Or did I close it out? I did. And I am now running this off my thumb drive. With easy sentences. And what I did was I took the 15 lessons that were here and changed them all. And one of the reasons that I did this is because they made no sense. And the first time I did this, we were using Type to Learn in our school, but I wanted kids to take stuff home. So I found the same lessons that worked with Type to Learn. So if the kid was on Type to Learn Lesson 5, he could go home and do Type Faster Lesson 5 at home. So I just found the same text from the Type to Learn, copied and pasted it in there. I'm not sure if that's illegal or illegal, but it was just easier words. On a CD. And some parents went, I'm not putting anything in the computer from my... And so, but if you had somebody who really needed extra time, and I have students that get pulled out a lot for specials, and they seem to be the ones that miss keyboarding, and they're the ones who really need it. So I put it on a CD. And if you... to give you an idea of how awful... Actually, that's not going to work. I want a different language layout. The words were, these are what the lessons look like. And they were long, and would you ever type that for 5 minutes? The kids gave up.
Have you ever seen Typing Sense?
I haven't seen that one. Is it like S-E-N-S-E?
Yes.
Okay, I'll have to look at that one.
It's the same kind of, you can copy and paste your own text into it.
I will look that one up. And what I did in here in this PowerPoint that will be on my website, kind of just go through this real... this is the website you'll be able to see. Customizing Type Faster. Pros and cons. Large size keys. It doesn't feel as kiddish, but that's also the older kids liked it better for that reason. I've made... a slideshow of what files contain what words. So you don't have to do what I did, was go through and kind of navigate and open up all the files. For example, in this case, the file called words. Sorry. I need orange tape right here. Smart board user. The file called words contains this. So this will save you a little bit of time. And you can see, okay. And the file called layout English contain these, and this will save your tech person some time if you're the tech person. The game, oh, there's a game in here. I asked kids, do you like the game? They said, no, it's so slow. Well, you can change the speed of the game. The setting files on the bottom where it says 1090, I'll show you where that is, and you can make the game all have words that have to do with your lessons. And game data. And here are the lessons, common words in lessons 1 through 15. They're located, I use U.S. English. And then, where can you find better text? Here are two great websites. The first one here, Speed Builder, has 14 lessons, short, to the point. I made a text-type version with these lessons, so if you want to take these files, later, stop at our table, and I'll make sure that there's a CD there, and you can have those, or you can do it yourself. Didn't take me long. And another one was on Utah's keyboarding website. This has been around forever. tons of great resources. I picked up the drills, 14 lessons of drills, copied and pasted them in there, and they made much more sense for our kids. We're still using Type to Learn because we have a big install base on it. We're not upgrading to version 4, but we can send stuff home because more and more our people are saying, we have our principal and vice principal says, something's got to go. We're doing more in classrooms. What if kids could do some of this typing at home? I haven't found that to work, but we're hearing a lot of pressure to reduce the keyboarding time at our school to make room for other things. I will fight that. And here is some slides, how to add the new lesson. This was just, what would you put in there? High frequency words. On those websites, there are the 10 most frequently typed words in the English language. The next 10. Alphabetic sentences. Kids like to type sentences that have every letter of the alphabet. Just do two of those every day as a warm-up. So you're reviewing the alphabet. Creating and sharing a collection of lessons. Maybe you could start an open source education community in your school. And I said something about copy the whole Type Faster folder on your thumb drive. Maybe rename that whole customized, call it grade 3, week 3. And every once in a while, maybe every semester, you could change it over if you wanted to, put a different CD or a different thumb drive. Send that one home. I'm a Windows user, and I should have checked that, and I didn't. We don't have Macs at our school. Did somebody say?
Windows only.
Sorry. Does it have Linux?
Yes.
TypeSense? I'm going to look that one up.
Online, and yeah, that will work. It worked on our Mac.
I'll look that one up. Okay. So, and there's a portable version. I didn't try the portable version, but there is one also. Okay. Yes, there is a network version. I didn't put it on our network. When you install it, there are directions for putting it on a network, but we already had
Type to Learn,
so I decided not to make extra work for my network admin. Got to be nice to those guys. I'd like to spend the rest of the time doing something that I had so much fun doing, and that is working with TuxPaint. It is. So kids could have it at home.
The client download is 1 gig.
So if you...
It doesn't fit on a CD, so they'd have to download it at home to be able to access the web.
And one of the things that I have found in the 4 years I've been in the K-8, I didn't even try when I was in high school because we lived in the Northeast Kingdom and there were so many communities that did not have broadband. Even though St. Albans City School does have broadband available to it, the numbers of students that have internet has decreased. Why do you think that is? Economic times, people have to make choices. Transient populations, when you move from one community to the other, getting online takes time. We used to have internet. I hear that more and more. We don't yet. We used to. So... TuxPaint in the classroom. How many people have used TuxPaint? Would you say it has immediate appeal? And we're going to play with it in a little bit. Has immediate appeal. If you've never used it, on the slide you'll have a video. I'm not going to try to watch that here with you. And there's a Wikipedia article that gives you a lot of other great links. And one of the things you'll want to do is if you tell your network administrator to put TuxPaint on, tell them to put TuxPaint with the stamps. Because the stamps are like KidPicks for people who use KidPicks. They are very easy to use. And sit down with somebody, don't just put it there, and give them 10 minutes to have them try the tools, the magic, and the stamps. And also warn them about two limitations. One of them is you can't move objects. It's not a Photoshop. It's not layers where you can start moving things around. It wasn't meant to be Photoshop. There are some open source and free software that is meant to be that. It wasn't meant to do that. So is there anybody who has not seen TuxPaint? Only 3 people. We'll be using it in a second, but Go download it, play with it. Typos can be fixed later. They can be fixed right now, but I have a first grade teacher who is writing, her students do writing, and then she comes back later and says, oh, you spelled that wrong. That didn't work very well, to try to fix those. But you can erase and... let's go to Tux Paint. Oops. Do I have it open? No, I thought I had it open. Let's close out of Typefaster. Close out a few windows. I get accused of not being very nice to my computer and running too many things on it. Now, one of the things, you see the hourglass? Tux Paint does not like it when you click on it several times while it's loading. It crashes. So tell people about the hourglass, tell students. And the pieces that I said that you absolutely have to try is the magic. If you get people in magic right away, they will immediately be doing things like this. Ooh. And immediately be going down to one's a very popular one is the rainbow one. And they just start drawing, the kaleidoscopes are fun. So kids immediately start playing with it, teachers start liking it. And one of the things I did is I sat down with a math coach who has a lot of influence in our K through 4 classrooms. She teaches in those classrooms every day. And I showed her these tools. And she immediately said, oh, it would be good for this, it would be good for that. I would have never thought to use those flowers for algebraic equation in K through 4. I didn't even know they thought that in K through 4. But so what I would suggest is perhaps to sit down with somebody who actually teaches math, in this case. I think I got out of this. And I'm going to go back and do the last half first and come back to the configuration files. Skip past through this. I should have just started there. Whoops. And here are the ideas that have worked. Creating cool book covers. That was an easy, low-maintenance way to start. So kids would write, and they'd make their book covers. So keep doing your writing the way you usually do, but come to the computer lab to make book covers. Then we do a lot of work with literacy. So how do you get technology into literacy time? I spent a lot of time asking myself that question, because when I first got there, it's like, this is this is literacy time. You can't touch it. Sacred. Anybody hear that? So one of the things that we did was sketching a picture to write about it. I watch how the teachers teach literacy and writing, and one of the strategies they use is you sketch first in first grade, and then you write about your sketch. So we took eighth graders and said, would you spend a day mentoring a kindergarten class on how to use Tux Paint? And they got a book buddy. The first day we went in, they just helped them play with Tux Paint. The second day, their teacher had talked to them about sketching. They came back in, and they sketched a picture they were going to write about. So the first day is all the only time we really needed the eighth graders, but I had them there for both days. And we'll talk a little bit more about it. When it prints on a piece of paper, it automatically prints to half a page, which leaves the bottom half for writing. So that was a nice thing I didn't expect. Showing your math understanding, I'm going to show you lots of examples about that. Art expectations. Our art teacher, I was watching him one day, and he had frogs all over the room, and his first graders were doing textures. And so they drew frogs, and then they added different textures, and he was teaching that art concept. And when I showed him this, he immediately made a sketch of his frog, brought it into Tux Paint as a template, and I'll show you how to do that. And the kids did the same thing with textures, and they were using art lessons. Illustrating science concepts and using it as a presentation tool. And if you don't have smart boards in every classroom and don't have the smart board software, you can take something like TuxPaint and bring in templates and draw and do some cool things over it. And I'll show you that some teachers are really excited about that. And of course, self-expression and your GEs. Let's go back to TuxPaint. We'll go back here for a second. By the way, in my slideshow, the Book Buddies, 5 days, they learned the basics of TuxPaint, they sketched their pre-writing activity. The third day, they went back to their class and wrote about their drawing, and that actually took more than 2 days, I don't know. When they came back to the computer lab, the Book Buddies came back with them and actually typed their stories into a presentation. Like, we ended up using Google Docs presentation, but you could do it in PowerPoint or Impress. They inserted the kid's picture, typed it with them, and they left there with a published book. By doing it in Google Docs, what was really nice about it, and I have a link to their slideshow on here, is they left after that one day with a published book. And it was online, no kids' names. And so that was done quickly, and it was low maintenance. These two links at the bottom here are the published books of those first grade classes from this 5-day exercise. And there's one, the penguin story. Lots of stories have penguins in them all of a sudden. Leave that up there for a few seconds. But not all stories had penguins about them. Like the party hat? And I didn't, he has sunglasses. The kid actually put sunglasses on him. Okay. Now this was the part that I really enjoyed, was working with our math coach. And when I showed her some of these tools, I started scribing the ideas she came up with. Show me different ways to make 8. And if you look up there, I wouldn't have thought of this, and kids now could have TuxPaint on the teacher's computer, and she could be illustrating, students could be illustrating the understanding. Now, the cherries is a whole different concept there to think about. Now, how does that make 8? Younger kids, bigger, biggest, biggest. You can do greater than, less than things I wouldn't have thought of. Again, these are from our math coach. We put all our ideas by grade level. So I'll show you some of those. Fractions. Draw me a picture of spring where 1/3 of the flowers are purple. And they use the stamps. More math ideas. These next 3 slides, and I'll just show you where they are. Were ideas that she came with, that she came up with, that had to do with what she teaches to K-4 students as the math coach. So maybe if you have a math coach or math teachers in your room, this may make sense to them, like 2D shapes in grade K-1. Using magic, flowers that grow to demonstrate algebraic growth. I would have never thought to do that. Kaleidoscope, what do equal parts look like? Flips and turns, what happens when I flip something? That's something they do in grade 3. So actually I'm going to show you one more that I saw on the way out the door Friday. I was walking by Matthew's classroom, and Matthew, you just did some design recently, didn't you? Mm-hmm. In your classroom, yeah. Outside Ms. Provost's room?
Yeah.
Okay, so I saw these on the wall, hand-sketched graph paper, using something called 100 squares. Anybody know what that is? Wouldn't have known. And I'm going to pick this one because it's not 100 squares. I'm going to load this template. I wanted to turn the sound off, and everybody said, no, don't. That's what the kids like. So I walked outside their classroom, and all of a sudden I'm seeing, and let me get the paintbrush, I'm going to put magic on, and this is done, hand done. But I thought, oh, you could do this with TuxPaint. There is a fill button here. which is the one I use the most. And the kids had done pixel art. They had drawn designs. I'm not quite very artistic, but let's say that that's the design. And they were all over the wall, and I was watching the kids' math next to it. What percentage of that is orange? What percentage is purple? What percentage of these colors? And I thought, and I saw all their writing. So I thought, when I go back, I'm going to ask Matthew in his classroom if they want to try that activity in Tux Paint. And by having 100 squares, it makes teaching percentage easy, but what would happen if there weren't 100 squares? There are not 100 in this template. No, I don't want to quit. So, I'm hoping that I've convinced you that you could turn these tools into more useful tools. So how do you do it? I'm going to show you now how to create new starter pages in Tux Paint, and then I'll show you how to do new stamps. Because if you're doing coins, you may want coins as your stamp. So if you're doing science, you may want planets. And I think coins and planets are already there, but I'm now forgetting which ones came with it. So these starter pages. When I hit new, I can start with a blank page. And this is the one that eighth graders sit there and do when I think they just want to be mindless. But I'm constantly walking into the computer lab and watching eighth graders color the chicken. We have so many different versions of this chicken on our computers, but they just, everybody loves the color, and it just kind of gravitates towards them. So I said, people really like to do that. Could we do this a different way? Could we use it for different templates? So when you do new, there are different types of templates out there, but there aren't that many educational ones. You'll notice that we have added some templates, like this one, about the solar system. So one of the things that you can do is take any Blackline Master that you have online and turn it into a template. So if you have some good Blackline Masters on a CD or online, you could put it in a template and maybe turn it into a presentation tool. So how do you do that? Let's go back. I'll show you the instructions I have. I keep going there. I don't want to go there. I am not a GIMP user. I tried. I really did. I apologize, but I just couldn't make it work for me. And we have Photoshop, but we also have other tools like Photo Paint, Paint.net and Photo Filter as some free versions of different pieces. But I decided to do these in Photoshop, and whatever you use, whether it be GIMP or Paint.net, you can probably do the same thing. So we use Photoshop Elements. Using Photoshop, create a new file. The width and height that Tux Paint recommends, or the people who've tried this, are 608 by 486, but I haven't got hung up over that, and it still seems to work. I don't get that hung up over it. And do you see at the very bottom where it says background content? That must be transparent. And when you see that, you will see a lot of checkers look around you. And draw whatever you want. And when you're done, save it as a PNG and interlace equals none. We'll try that in a minute. I'm going to give you the brief overview, and then we'll give it a try. Once you have this template somewhere, you've got to know where to put it. So you copy your new PNG file to a folder named Starters. By default, it's located there in Program Files, Tux Paint, Data Starters on your computer. Not on our computer. What we've decided to do is to take the starters and put them on a mapped drive on our M drive. We have a folder called Tux, and starters are in there. So anytime a teacher wants to make a new template, they put it in the starters folder from their login. It isn't complicated. They don't have to get into the computer to do that. They just open up the M drive, file Tux, find starters, and they drop their new templates in there. Do I have teachers doing this yet? No. I've started working with two teachers doing this. But do I have lots of teachers doing this? Just a couple people, math coach and an art teacher. But we've changed where our Tux Paint starters are located so that could be accessed from any computer. That's as easy as it is. Next time you open Tux Paint, that's going to be one of your templates. I said you could do this with any Black Line Master. I've decided to put in a couple ideas, a couple places for you to try. There's a place called mathworksheets.com that does number lines, because teachers are frequently using number lines. The blank 100 charts, there's lots of them on Math Drills or MathWire. The solar system one that you just found, I found on WBRschools.net. They had a lot of Black Line Masters for grade 2. You can find your own, but here's a few places to get started if you do coloring pages. And so one of the things I did was download the 100 squares piece. And we tried using all these different Tux Paint tools. We tried the paint, we tried the fill, we tried... I wouldn't know what to do with this, but I went back to... Over here you'll see directions for using blank 100 charts. And I actually went to a teacher and I said, Sandy told me that you... I went to Sandy and said, I'm doing this presentation. Remind me of all the different ways you use this. She wasn't there. I went to 3 math teachers and they went, you can do that in Tux Paint? Oh, yeah, this is what you do. You count by 5, you teach math.
Count by 5, count by 10, skip count by 3.
So this is something I think if you show a math teacher, they'll know what to do with it. So as a technician, you may not know, but they'll know what to do with it. Number line. That number line site that I showed you, I created some number lines, put them in the templates, and they love using the... rainbow one. It makes really cool noises. And what would you do with that, Lisa, with number lines?
I teach first grade math right now. I would do 1 through 20, and they'd be doing subtraction and addition on the number line using the rainbow counting backwards.
Mm-hmm. So that was the solar system we talked about. Black Line Master, I found one. I made a video tutorial. If you click on this link, you'll see a step-by-step tutorial that I made. I found this Black Line Master online and how I turned it into a Tux Paint template. And I think we'll have enough time to walk through this in a few minutes. So let's do that. Has anybody else done this? Because if you have some ideas that will make it work better, please wave. Let's start with... close out of these for a minute. I have a Tux Paint folder here. And I'm going to pick, trying to think which one I want to do. I think I'll do this one. I'm not going to start totally from scratch. But this is what I did with the Math Coach. The first time we practiced this, we basically, I wasn't the math coach, this was a different teacher, sorry, the one that I just picked was not the number line. But using Photoshop, she just basically, it's a different teacher, drew lines this way, wrote mammals and reptiles. And actually... you see these dots right here? When you do File, Save As, you create them as a PNG. And animals classified. I have a copy of them here. And then interlace equals none. You drop that PNG file in the Tux Paint Starters folder, it will work. But that's not the prettiest thing. That'll make it a white file. What if you wanted it to be a little prettier than that and add yellow? Is that prettier? More kid-friendly? Then you could do Save As. And I'm going to call it animal classify yellow. And that's in the FOSS-Ed Vermont folder. Actually, I'm going to just put it on the desktop right now, not to confuse it with the others. PNG? I think I did it as a PNG. Double check. Was it PNG that I did it? Yes, okay. So now it's yellow. But if you bring this into TuxPaint, you won't be able to click and put things in there because you've taken away that transparent part. So, anybody use UrbanView? One person? Okay. UrbanView is a very small download that you don't even have to be in administrative mode to use. You plop it on your computer and it works. And I have a link to where UrbanView is on this slideshow. But I'm going to go to my yellow and put it on here, I thought, because I would find it easier. And I'm going to open this with UrbanView. Now, UrbanView allows you to save as a PNG. You've got to click Save Transparent Color. And animals classify yellow. I'm actually going to save right on top of it if I put it in the desktop. Okay. Now watch carefully, because if you blink, you won't see this. When I hit save, because I've picked PNG and I have transparent, a screen appears here. First it says, do you want to save? Yes. I didn't notice this at first. I looked at the directions and this went right past me. Click in the image to set the transparent color. What color do I want to be transparent?
Yellow.
Yellow. I clicked yellow, and it looked like nothing happened. So I didn't even realize that anything had really happened. And now, I'm going to close out. That image is here, but it's got a transparent yellow background. So if I go to TuxPaint, and I'm not even sure which version I'm running here, and the program files, and the TuxPaint, it's actually data, and then which one was it for the templates? Starters. If I drag that file and plop it in here, wherever your starters are located, when I open TuxPaint, or actually when I do new, I don't even think I have to reopen it. I think this will work. And if it doesn't, it's because I probably have a different version on it. But I did it before. What I've got right now is one running on my thumb drive and one running on the computer and one running in the folder. So I think I have the wrong one version running. But basically, I practice actually making some different things happen. But then I'll go to the stamps. And I could say that here's the way the stamps work. Okay, so where would I put animals, Matthew?
Frog.
What? Would it go here? And is it a reptile? What about penguins? What are penguins? Are penguins mammals? Let's find another one. Oh, there's a bunny. Where does the bunny go? So those are just some examples. There's more things you can do with this, but that's how you create templates. Going back to the, probably embarrass myself with my knowledge of science here. I'm going to pause for a second. You remember the number line template? Actually, I'll do that one. I think we have the number line, and then we'll move on. New, open, and yes to saving it, no. Oops, I picked the wrong one. I'll lose this one. So basically here, people did different things. They went to magic, they went to fill. That's probably the most useful one, starting. Oops, this is This one, we actually let the numbers show. Some people actually put stamps on it, put shapes on it, and put circles on there. There's different ways you can do that. How much time do we have left? Does anybody have the...
About 7 minutes.
7 minutes? So I'll just briefly talk about how do you make new stamps. So if I wanted new stamps by categories, there are a couple different ways that you can make them. And these are two stamps that I added, that I made. Sphere, 3D shapes. There were no 3D shapes that expressed the concept the math teacher wanted to do. I don't think that I'd really need a sphere in here, but let me make it a little smaller. And so she wanted to categorize different shapes. So the instructions for doing that, I'll show you where they are on our Tux Paint. Stamps. Oh, there you go. There's a nice tutorial that I found, but basically I downloaded some stamps. I used UrbanView, which you just saw. Brought them in, some JPEGs and GIFs, saved them as PNG, clicked on the white part, and now I had some stamps that I could put in. The trick is, if you wanted 3D shapes, make a folder called 3D shapes and put all those in 3D shapes, and then all those will stay categorized together. If you were doing animals and reptiles, or we had a teacher doing something and wanted to do something in science with winter animals, and so we made a folder called winter animals, and they would all stay together.
Lucy, what dimensions would the stamps be? You showed for the, you had dimensions for the template.
I think on the template, on the video tutorial, I actually list those dimensions, and I don't remember what they were, but I'm thinking 256 by 256 or something like that might work. And finally, there's lots of PNG clip art already out there. But not all PNG clip art has transparent background. Here's some places where you can get some PNG clip art so you don't have to make your own. WP clip art you saw with Open Office. CLKER has one, an open clip art. There's probably some other ones. But if they don't have transparent backgrounds, you might want to go through that extra step. But the piece that I do want to end with, do I have 3 minutes left?
Mm.
About?
Yeah.
Okay. Is in Tux Paint the configuration files. We've been playing with these. I need to read. Yes, I'm done. No, don't save. In Tux Paint, there is some configuration files. And are there any people here who have changed the configuration files? Played around with this. Where things save. First of all, video. I haven't really changed anything here. Mouse, keyboard, I've left alone. Saving. Where do you save things? I wanted everything to go to everybody's Z drive. Tux Paint, by default, and I have this in the earlier part of the slideshow, saves under documents and settings, application data, on the computer. We could never find our files later if we moved around from computer to computer. So what we've done is we have changed it for all users and used an alternate directory. I'm not connected to my network drive now. This isn't going to work. But if I browse and my personal storage is Z drive to Z, then all my Tux Paint stuff is going to save on my Z drive. But then I usually have a folder called Tux, I think, and it saves under there. The other one that was helpful is the data. Again, change the settings for all users and talk to your IT people. Instead of having the stamps and all the templates come from the computer, I changed it so that they come from a common storage in our network. M drive is the common storage, and where we have common files like type to learn files and some other common files that need to be accessed. And we have a folder called Tux there, starters, and people can put starters in there. That's it. Questions? I'll put this on Learning with Lucy as soon as I get better internet access. Question? Yes.
We had saving problems.
That's what I heard about that. I wanted to hear about that.
Well, maybe we didn't do this, but
So in this configuration setup, you can change that saving and apply it to all users so that it goes to their network drive instead of trying to save locally?
We did that, and we did it on the image. So like if you already have TuxPaint installed everywhere, so we did it on the image, and they had trouble with saving files. It didn't seem to stick, and they've tried for quite a while. And so I want to try, I talked to your network person and asked them before I did this presentation, what were the issues? So I'm going to try to replicate that problem and see if we have that problem. But we're also in the middle of making a major network change. We're going from to Novell this month, so I put all my TuxPaint playing on hold till the service changed over.
Once you have a completed TuxPaint piece, how might you paste that into some other document or project? Is it a PNG?
It's a PNG.
So the receiving application would need to be able to import
PNG. And that was the thing, is it's a PNG, and you got to know where they are. We couldn't find where they are when we first started playing with TuxPaint.
You can't, from the application, drag it like to the desktop or anything like that?
No.
We take screenshots because it's quick for them, and then just use that.
Yeah, is that a JPEG or that makes sense.
And that works good with our older kids. For the first graders, I didn't want to go there, but the older kids do that. They take screenshots. Okay. Thank you.